You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK.
The Punt, William Hill's Top Flight Football Podcast.
Hello everyone, welcome along to the Punt Podcast here with William Hill. Dave Kellner in the studio alongside Lee Phelps with Derek McGovern on the line to look ahead to the penultimate week of the Premier League season. And thankfully, Mr. Phelps, this Premier League season is coming to its conclusion in terms of the naps table.
Well, I mean, I'm positive till the end, Dave. I mean, you can be negative if you like, but I'm all about big winners.
You need a 100-to-1 shot, I think, just to reel Derek in.
No, look, like we've said before, I wanted Derek to win this one, you know, just to kind of make him feel better, make sure he comes back next season. So I think we've done well in letting him win.
Derek, good morning.
Yeah, good morning. I'm all gloated out. I can't do anymore. What was my winner last week? Sunderland 4-1,
92? It was
92,
I think it was. 92.
You're yourself out of half a point there.
Yeah, fantastic.
Yeah, nice. I've given up on doing the standings.
Well, I'm thinking about scrapping them next season as well, the naps completely. It's thrown me into emotional turmoil.
We even had someone the other day on Twitter trying to analyse why I'm so bad. which was good of them. Yeah. It was just as I landed over 1.5 first half Champions League goals in the Barca game, so I quickly tweeted that back to him.
No one cares about the midweek punt,
no,
did Derek.
I'm brilliant in the midweeks, Derek. Yeah. Absolutely brilliant in the midweek.
Who cares about that?
Yes.
Let's get stuck into this weekend's action. We start with Southampton versus Aston Villa, Saturday 12:45 PM. Southampton 4-5, the draw 23-10. And Aston Villa 4-1. Headline offers: Graziano Pella to score and Southampton to win is 3-1. Christian Benteke to score and Aston Villa to win is 8-1. Lee, there's a stat from Opta that I like here. Tim Sherwood has won 54.5% of his first 33 Premier League games as a manager. Only one Englishman has a better win rate from his first 33 Premier League matches. Who is it?
I wasn't really listening. One manager's got a better win rate from his first 33 games in charge.
English manager.
Roy Evans.
No, not Roy Evans. I'll give you two guesses. If you want that many.
Premier League, not first division.
Premier League, yeah.
Harry Redknapp.
It's John Gregory.
Oh, John Gregory. John Gregory.
John Gregory.
The man who puts a felt tip marker on it, on his hair, colours his hair with a marker pen. He definitely was that. You know, John Gregory, I remember once, he was when I was a kid, and there was an England game on, in a midweek England game, England against Poland or some crap like that. And we saw this name on the team sheet, John Gregory, and me and my brothers swore it was a Jim will fix it. We'd never heard of him. John Gregory was playing for England. How did he get a name for England?
He's ended up at Crawley now, so Sherwood will be hoping his career path doesn't follow the same trajectory, I think. Anyway, Southampton recorded their best points total ever, Lee.
Under John Gregory.
But they haven't won since beating Hull in mid-April. It's as if they don't want that Europa League spot, Lee.
Yeah, but they do. I mean, the manager keeps coming out and saying, we do want it. This is our Champions League. That's what we want to get end of the season. I think the form has been kind of tainted by the amount of away games that they've had to play in recent weeks. They were away at Stoke, away at Sunderland, away at Leicester. Now, they should have got something out of those, admittedly. But if you look at the home form, you know, the last defeat was way back on the 22nd of February when Liverpool beat them. They've beaten Palace, Burnley and Hull since then and drawn 2-2 with Tottenham. I'm not saying that's scintillating form, but it's not as bad as people are making out. Villa have been great, haven't they? But again, their great form, I think, is a little bit tainted by the fact that they've had, you know, some really good home results. Their away results aren't that good. You know, they beat Sunderland 4-0, which was a fantastic result for them. But Sunderland, you know, obviously at the time, and you could argue still, are in the depths of despair. They beat Tottenham as well, which is another good result. You can kind of make excuses for that as well, because Tottenham didn't really seem to turn up that day. And they aren't scoring that many goals either. I think both teams will be happy with a draw here. Admittedly, you know, the price of 4-1 is very tempting on Villa, the way they've been playing. But I think Southampton will batten down the hatches a bit here and try and maintain that great defence that they've got. Remember that, you know, when you look at the home defence table, if you like, they're still second. With 12 goals conceded all season. Chelsea have only conceded 8, and Arsenal 13, City 14, Man United 14. So they're right in there with the best teams in the division defensively. So I think, you know, and Villa is still the worst team for goal scoring away from home with just 12, which is worse than Burnley and Hull and all the rest of them. I'm going for a draw at 23-10 here. I think it'll be a draw and under 2.5. If you don't want the draw, you don't want to touch the outrights, I'd be looking at just low on the goals here. I think Southampton will try and control the game. If they pick up a point, you know, that puts a little bit more distance between them and Swansea. And Swansea have still got a couple of hard games. They've got a massive goal difference advantage over Swansea, plus 18 to zero. So effectively, they're 2 points ahead of them. And another point here, same for Villa. If they pick up another point, it moves them to 39. They've done all the hard work, in my opinion, these two teams. So draw at 23-10.
Under 2.5 goals is 10-11, and if you fancy the draw and the under 2.5 goals is 100-30. Derek, I'm guessing 4-1 looks attractive to you.
Massive. I don't know what Lee's on about. I think Villa, real good things here. I mean, Southampton, I mean, they're playing like Villa were playing earlier in the season, and Villa are playing like Southampton were playing earlier in the season, and you're getting 4-1 Villa. I think it's a massive price. And also, you doubly question Southampton's intent the way they're playing right now. You can't question Villa's, and you need the points as well. I mean, 38 points, some people are keeping it, saying it keeps them safe, but Hull at the bottom could still get 40 points, you know, if they win two games. I know it's a big if, but they could still get 40. Yeah, it's a big price to go down Villa, but they won't be resting up yet. 4-1's massive.
4-1, Aston Villa to win the game. A bit of team news as well. Southampton missing Morgan Schneiderlin and Dusan Tadic. They've been two of their best players all season, which is a concern.
Yeah, definitely. But good news, you know, Shane Long back in the fold. So is Mane as well. Jay Rodriguez signing that deal this week. Just to clarify, I'm not saying Aston Villa will ease up. I think they'll be happy with the point.
Okay. We'll move on. Liverpool versus Crystal Palace is the 5:30 p.m. kickoff on Saturday. A Liverpool 4-9, the draw 16-5. Crystal Palace 7-1. Interesting headline offer here. Steven Gerrard to score and Liverpool to win is 3-1. Yannick Bolasie to score and Crystal Palace to win 25-1. Steven Gerrard's last match ever at Anfield, Derek. It's going to be an emotional farewell for him. The fans ready to say goodbye to one of their greatest ever on Saturday night. And he's been talismanic for the club over the years.
Oh, he's been sensational. I mean, yeah. If you said that he was the best player ever to play for Liverpool, you know, I don't think you get too many arguments. I think he has been. Okay, he's tainted a little bit by what's happened this season. He's gone out with a whimper rather than a bang, but still a fantastic performer. And yeah, you know, yeah, it's very good. Very good.
I was welling up there, Derek. I must admit.
Well, funny you should say that because there have been prices knocking about on Gerrard. Will he cry or won't he cry? I don't think
he's ever cried in his life, has he, Gerrard?
Well,
when he gave away the title last year, he didn't cry.
Well, yeah, I mean, there are occasions when a man can justifiably cry, aren't they? I mean, you know, when you drop your ice cream on the floor, the end of a marathon, even especially if there's no more left in the cupboard. When you're assembling furniture.
You made me so pleased there, Derek. Every time there's a marathon, I tweet a picture of an empty marathon wrapper and I get castigated by this man to my left. See, that's humour, DK.
I can't believe you and Lee are cut from the same cloth, Derek, as far as humour's concerned.
There's another time when people cry.
Very worrying.
That's when they keep back in my naps.
Yeah, you're right.
And then realise, I've done it.
But nobody does anymore.
They've gone full circle now. They're laughing. They've gone past the crying. They've gone to the laughter.
The tears are still there.
Yeah.
Well, I think Hills are also better than Will. You know, Gerrard won't last the 90 minutes because he just won't. He'll be taken off to a standing ovation before the end. And Hills are better than what minute he will go. And I think there's a price but between the 85th and full time, which is nailed on.
1-2
is exactly what happened to Jamie Carragher. He ran off in the 87th minute a couple of seasons ago.
We were looking at that yesterday, Derek, and I must admit, you know, maybe it's just on value grounds, but I was wondering if the 75-85 at 6-4 was better, you know, just to give him a bit more. I mean, it's hard to know when they take him off, isn't it? Obviously, I suppose it depends on the match to a certain extent as well, but I'd be tempted to go 75-85 and go 6-4, but yeah, I know what you mean. There is a bit of a rule that they go off. You know,
near the end,
towards the end of the last 5 minutes.
Yeah, I think that's a nail on. As for the game, it will be Liverpool winning this because Palace, they've given up for the season. 4 straight defeats, and when they were going so well, they are playing in flip-flops, and Liverpool will win this. I actually think Liverpool are 4-9. It's not a price I would often take, but given the circumstances, I think it's absolutely copper-bottomed, nailed on.
Wow. Liverpool 4-9, the draw 16-5, Palace 7-1. Do you agree with Derek in terms of Crystal Palace having checked out for the season? Because they put in respectable performances against Manchester United last Saturday and the previous weekend against Chelsea as well. We've said it before, but they can get up for the games against the big teams despite already being safe.
Yeah, they can get up for them, but they don't do very well against them still. You know, if you look at the results against the top seven, they don't win many games. In fact, they lose most of them and don't score many goals. I think they've only scored once in those games, and that was away from home, this is, and that was against Arsenal when they lost 2-1. I don't see them as being able to compete with the best teams in the division, and I think Liverpool are obviously up there, especially with this day. You know, you would imagine the players. The danger is that it develops into some sort of testimonial. Now, I've looked at some of the comments from the Palace players, and they're a bit like, "Yeah, we're not going to let it become just a day for Gerrard." But the fact that they're talking about that, they'll know that. And no player that you ever hear from has ever got a bad word for Gerrard. So there's a danger that Palace could get sucked into this a little bit. They're obviously well safe. Been a bit of a bogey team, haven't they, Derek, for Liverpool? Obviously, the 3-3, which people point to, them losing the title there, whether they lost it there or anywhere else doesn't really matter. But they beat them 3-1 at Selhurst Park this year already, of course. Liverpool have won in the FA Cup. I mean, I know it's sentimental, but... I mean,
headline,
you may
offer.
Just go for the Steven Gerrard to score on Liverpool to win it 3-1. I've got the sense, Derek, I don't know if this will happen, but if Liverpool are 2-up, I think it will be a bit like a testimonial. If they're 2-up with 60 minutes gone, I reckon they'll shove Gerrard up front.
Yeah.
And try and get him a goal.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I got that sense. But even if he doesn't, he's been in good scoring form, hasn't he? I mean, it's not like, especially at home, he's had penalties. I was looking back through their scored in... in every Premier League game for the last nine, I think it is, last 10 Premier League games at home at Anfield, looking at the goal scorers, the majority of the goal scorers are midfielders. I think 13 of the goals that they've scored in those 10 have been from midfielders. Gerrard's got 4 of them in that spell. So I think it's a fair bet. I think, obviously he's going to be on penalties, obviously free kicks, and it's just like him to score in his swan song match, I think, really. I know it's a bit of a mug bet, really, thinking, oh, yeah, Gerrard's bound to score. But I think given the price, I agree with Derek. I think Liverpool will win the game, and given the price, I think it's worth having a go at 3-1. And he's my favourite player of this generation. So
yeah, you love him, don't you?
I do like it. I mean, his form's waned a little bit in the last season, but up until that point, I think he's been tremendous. I love that style of player. So yeah, brilliant.
On to Sunday's televised matches. We start off with Swansea versus Manchester City, 1:30 p.m. Swansea 4-1 to win the game. The draw is 5-2 with Manchester City 3-4. Headline offers Bafétimbi Gomis to score and Swansea to win is 8-1. Sergio Aguero to score and Manchester City to win is in the betting at 13-8. Two teams here, Lee, in good form as the season draws to its conclusion. Swansea have won 3 straight while Manchester City are on a run of 4 consecutive wins. Appears to me that Swansea really want that Europa League spot, and that's something that Gary Monk has spoken openly about, his desire to compete against the best in Europe. And I enjoyed that performance against Arsenal on Monday night, where I think Monk tactically outmanoeuvred Arsene Wenger, really, and they got the result they deserved.
Yeah, I mean, it was a very... they didn't do an awful lot, did they, in the game? They kept the ball and they passed it around in their own half. Fair enough.
Hit them on the break, though, didn't they? Played with those two wide men.
Yeah, and Arsenal, when they get lulled into those kind of games, they find it really difficult to go through the gears, don't they? I think City are playing, obviously, some of the best stuff they've played this season. I mean, in that form table, by the way, the form table which goes back 6 games, Swansea are above Man City in the table, 3rd versus 4th. I suppose you look at the games that they've played, they've beaten Arsenal, beaten Stoke, beaten Newcastle, lost to Leicester, drew with Everton, and beat Hull. Man City beating QPR, beating Tottenham, beating Villa and beating West Ham. So there's not an awful lot, the 2 losses before that, not an awful lot to pick between the two of them. I just think with Aguero in the team, he may well be the difference, because I think he's finished the season in phenomenal form. I wanted to have a look at Boney to score in the game. He scored 3 goals in the last 2 matches between them, obviously all for Swansea before his move. But for a man who hasn't been scoring for City and hasn't really started his career there that well, 19-20 is not good enough for me. Odds on.
When you compare that price with Sergio Aguero's price, there's no comparison, is there?
No, not at all. I think this will be an entertaining game. I think you could see over 2.5 goals. I think we could see both teams to score because City look like they just want to attack. And I noticed that when you look at the head-to-heads, there's been a lot of goals either side of half time, and I've picked out a bit of a worldie here. Keeping with my Sergio Aguero fascination at the moment. Yep. And by the way, I've made a... Talking of naps, I've made an absolute... I've just made a horrific error. I've been tipping him to score first for 4 weeks now. It's landed 4 weeks running.
It's landed five weeks running.
I'd be beating you, Derek, if I'd had my nap every week.
I did 5 weeks running.
One of the games, there was an own goal, and then he scored second. So, in effect, he scored the first goal in five successive games.
Bloody hell.
I'm going for Sergio Aguero to score in both halves at 9-1. I don't think that's beyond the realms of possibility, to be honest with you. It's just, if you go below the goal scorers, you'll see to score from outside the penalty area, to score a header, score in the first 10 minutes, and it's just below that. 9-1 for him to score in both halves.
What do you reckon here, Derek?
Well, I think Swansea are a big price, actually. So, you know, given that they're still at it, they're playing really well, three straight wins, and they're 4-1 above City in the form table. I think it's overpriced, I really do. I'm not getting all worked up by City's recent form because, you know, who have you beaten? West Ham, who have given up. Villa, they were desperately lucky to win. Tottenham wasn't the greatest performance. And then, well, okay, 6-0 against QPR. We could put up a team that would do that. So I'm going to go for Swansea. I think they're overpriced, 4-1 at home.
On to Manchester United versus Arsenal, 4 p.m. kickoff on Sunday. Manchester United 6-4 to win the game. The draw is 21-10 and Arsenal 2-1. Headline offers, Wayne Rooney to score and Manchester United to win is 7-2. Alexis Sanchez to score and Arsenal to win 5-1. Firstly, Derek, Arsenal have got Sunderland and West Brom at home to come. So the narrative that automatic Champions League qualification could hinge on the outcome of this game is overblown, really. That top four looks pretty much set now.
Yeah, I mean, you know, United are 2 points behind Arsenal, who have a game in hand. So even if United win this one, they go a point above them, Arsenal will still, you know, will still probably finish above them, won't they? Be given that run in. So yeah. I'm not sure that's at stake. But both sides will be honest. That's for sure. Tough one to call this. It really is. I mean, I wasn't impressed with Arsenal the other night against Swansea. I mentioned a couple of weeks ago that they looked slight as though they'd gone over the hill. But United have not been entirely convincing either, have they? I really don't know what to call on this one. I think I'll play safe and go for the draw.
21-10, the draw. It feels like, Lee, a big game for Arsene Wenger, this one, because historically his teams have had difficulty at Old Trafford in the past. They've lost 9 of their last 11 away at Manchester United, but they did beat them in the FA Cup back in March. And Manchester United have significant injury problems at the moment. Michael Carrick not playing again this season, and Wayne Rooney picked up a knock against Crystal Palace and had to come off at half-time. If he's fit, their chance is enhanced significantly because he's got a very good goal-scoring record against Arsenal.
Yeah, he has, and all that is obviously very true. And I just think both teams will settle for a point. Derek's right; I think they both will go for it. But I think it could be an entertaining game. I'm not saying it's going to be a drab game at all. But I think both teams will have a go. I think it could end up in a draw, maybe even like something like a 2-2 draw, which would be really entertaining. Because I don't really think, I agree with Derek, I don't really think there's an awful lot in this. You know, Arsenal have got two games to come after this, one against Sunderland. You'd expect them to pick up the points, really. So I think the positions that we see now are the positions that the league will finish in. I'm interested in, team news permitting, I think that there will be goals. And I'm not going to go on my usual Man United to score over 1.5 goals. I'm going for over 1.5 goals in the first half from both teams. Reason being, Man United, 24 of their 40 home goals have come in the first half, and 18 of Arsenal's 29 goals away from home have come in the first half. So over 1.5 first half goals for either team is priced up at 7-4. It's been trimmed in. It was 2-1 when I did the prep yesterday. But 7-4 for that. The other way of playing it, by the way, which is a bigger price, is 17-5 for both teams to score in the first half.
Okay.
Take your pick.
Yeah, you can. Obviously, it could be 2-0 either way at half-time or 3-0 either way at half-time.
Arsenal's performances, by the way, against the top seven teams have been a bit better this season, but not a lot better. You know, they still struggle, I think. The win at Man City was obviously a tremendous win. And that's, you know, 2-0. They drew at Anfield. You know, they lost 2-0 to Chelsea. They lost 2-1 to Tottenham, of course, in the Premier League as well. And you look at Man United's performances. at home against the bigger teams. Scored 4 against City, 3 against Tottenham, 3 against Liverpool.
Yeah.
Some really good results for Man United there. Drew 1-1 with Chelsea. So you know, I think when you look at Man United's performances against the big teams at home, they've been excellent. They've been kind of almost back to where they were under Sir Alex Ferguson.
This is what he does, Derek. He lands an over 1.5 goals first half bet in the midweek punt, and then he thinks he's a master on that particular bet.
Hasn't he ever learned?
Stats are good.
Over 1.5 first half goals, and 7-4 for Lee. And Derek, you're going with the draw.
No, I'm backing exactly 1.5 goals.
In the first half. The draw 21-10 in the game. We'll move on to Monday night's fixture, which is West Brom versus Chelsea. West Brom 3-1, the draw 21-10, Chelsea 21-20. A headline offers Saido Berahino to score and West Brom to win is 7-1. Eden Hazard to score and Chelsea to win is 3-1. Lee, Chelsea champions and West Brom safe after a string of good results for them. It's tough to know where the motivation lies for either of these two teams, but Chelsea have gone 16 games unbeaten now, which is the longest run in the division this season, won 11 and drawn 5 in that spell. They'll want to see that through, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I think if you're looking at motivation then, and you're comparing who will have the most, I think Chelsea will have more just because of the manager and the fact that they'll want to keep it going. They've got a winning mentality and, you know, West Brom certainly haven't got that. They haven't won any of the last 3 home games, losing 4-1 to QPR, 3-2 to Leicester. They battened down the hatches and drew 0-0 with Liverpool. And I presume he'll try and do the same sort of thing against Chelsea, but I think they will break it down. I think they'll manage to get the win here. I get the argument that, you know, that the season's over, but I do think they'll push it. And I think you're getting odds against for the champions, the best team by a mile in the table, against a team who've got nothing to play for and whose form has really drifted quite a bit over in recent weeks. And I know they got 2 good results away from home. The win at Man United was brilliant, great defending, but Man United did have chances and to get back in that game. And the 1-1 draw at Newcastle's all right. But yeah, I'll take Chelsea. One last chance to back the champions odds against. Mm. That'll do for me.
21-20, Chelsea.
Yeah, it's a persuasive argument that. I mean, you do wonder about the motivation, and Chelsea's is perhaps greater because of that, you know, that run, wanting to stay unbeaten. But you know, that could be negated by the fact that West Brom are at home and they're duty bound to turn it on in front of their own fans. But then again, Chelsea are a much better side, aren't they? Yeah, I think it's a fair price that Chelsea to win away at 21-20. What I would say, in both teams to score the yes or no market, I'd rather be on the 10-11 no, because I've said many times in matches where nothing's at stake, players, it's an effort to score a goal, and it is any week for West Brom. I'm going to go for no in that market at 10-11.
I'm just going to say, I've not looked back further than 2010, 2011, but if they were to win their last 2 games, Chelsea, they will finish with the highest points total in recent years, 90. I think 89's been the total, the best total recently. I was going back as Derek was talking, and I'm back to 2008, 2009. Still haven't found anyone who went over 90. Man United 90 points in 2008, 2009. So I think Mourinho likes that sort of thing. You know, really hammer the nail in as well. You know, he's not just content with winning, he wants to win really well.
On to the non-televised matches this weekend then. Saturday 3 p.m. QPR take on Newcastle. QPR 19-10, the draw 11-5, Newcastle 6-4. QPR down now after getting drubbed 6-0 by City last weekend. Newcastle, Derek, broke that string of 8 successive defeats with a 1-1 draw at home to West Brom. It was remarkable in the lead-up to that match last week how well Newcastle were backed. They were backed off the boards, really, and they look quite short here again, Derek.
Well, they do. They are. I mean, they're not a good team. You know, the problems they've had with their management, the owner, not putting any money in. But you look at the squad they put out on the pitch, and it's not very good. That applies equally to QPR, doesn't it? I mean, they have been woeful. It's bad eggs versus a bad side in this picture. I mean, you don't know what's happening at QPR, given the outburst in the press this week, you know, fingers being pointed. How will they react? Will they say, this is our last home game of the season, let's give the fans something? Unlikely, I would say. You know what, it could be any result, this one. But you're right, Newcastle 6-4, I wouldn't touch that. I'll go for the draw, 11-5. You've got a feeling Newcastle possibly might just think, you know, a couple of draws between now and the last game might just about keep them safe. So I'll go for the draw.
11-5, the draw here. Lee, QPR received a heck of a lot of criticism following that performance at the Etihad. I just wonder what the response will be like on Saturday. I think the fans will demand it. And I think Chris Ramsey, the manager, will expect them to perform with a little bit more desire on Saturday as well.
I'm not so sure they can. I've looked around for comments this week. You know, people coming out and going, no, I'm not having that. There's not been much. I know Joey Barton spoke after the match and others did, but since then it's been very quiet. I think they want the season over and done with, to be perfectly honest with you. The injury list seems to have got bigger since last week. You know, Ron always used to say, didn't he, Derek, that, you know, you always know when you go, coming towards the end of the season, if you had a cup final coming up, everyone's fit.
Yeah.
Even if they're injured, they're fit. If you're in a bad spot, it's amazing how many injuries there are in the treatment room, and I think the same could be said here for QPR. I think this comes down to the fact that Newcastle have got so much more to play for, you know, and we did see, and I know they're limited, but it was a much more passionate performance that they showed last weekend, and I think if they can show that, I think that will outdo QPR. I like Charlie Austin to score here. I think Charlie Austin is one of the, I'm presuming he's one of the good eggs in this QPR team, and I think he'll still be looking for a move, to be honest with you. He's not really wanting, he won't be playing the Championship, will he? So I think he's got motivation to finish on a high as well. I mean, you look down both of these teams, Derek, you can see why they're both struggling.
Yeah.
To score goals for full stop and to get out of this. I mean, there's so many lightweight players in that QPR team. But yeah, I'm looking at. I'll go for Charlie Austin to score. I think I'd go for the draw. You know, given, you know, if I had to go for one of the three outright prices, because I think that would, you know, it's not the greatest result in the world for Newcastle, but it just gives them another point and keeps them ticking over. I think they need the win, but I'm not sure they're good enough to go away and get a win, to be honest with you. So draw on the outrights, but Charlie Austin to score is my main bet.
Charlie Austin 13-10 to score any time in that match. We'll move on to Tottenham versus Hull. Tottenham 4-5, the draw 23-10, and Hull 4-1. Harry Kane to score and Tottenham to win is one of the headline offers at 2-1. Abel Hernandez to score and Hull to win is 8-1. Interesting match this one, Lee, because Hull's need is clearly greater than Tottenham's, and Tottenham appear to have switched off for the season. Just wonder whether Hull have that quality as well as the desire to win as well. They failed to break Burnley down last weekend, and prior to that, Arsenal had thumped them as well. Hull have, interestingly, never won a Premier League game in May. They've drawn 3 and lost 8. Have you got any strong opinions on this match? Hull clearly desperately need those 3 points.
Yeah, they do. I don't think they'll go for them, though. I don't think they'll go set out, you know, all guns blazing and try and take Tottenham on, because that's asking for trouble, because I know this Tottenham team have given up the ghost. I mean, the manager's to blame. Maurizio Pochettino came out and said pretty much, you know, it was hardly even veiled terms, was it, that they don't really want Europa League football. So the players, you know, we've said time and time again, we've heard it from within the game, that players only need a little excuse to turn off, even if it's a couple of percentage off their top form, that's enough to take them down. You only have to look at the recent performances to see that they're not at it. You know, in terms of, you know, the goal scoring, they're not scoring goals. I think if Hull make this difficult for them and the White Hart Lane crowd start to get a little bit agitated, and looking at the forums this week, they are agitated. I mean, they're pretty happy with what Pochettino's done, but there are a lot of question marks surfacing about his tactics, why, you know, what he's doing with this squad. Today he's come out and said that no player is safe and he'd be looking to make wholesale changes. On the forums, they're suggesting that if Pochettino starts badly next season, he could be in a bit of bother. So I think Hull will go there and try and set up for the draw. Obviously, they'd happily take a breakaway goal and a 1-0 victory. I'm not sure they'll get that, though. I don't think they have got the quality in answer to your original question. I'm going for a goals bet here. I'm looking at Hull to get a draw out of it if you want an outright bet, but under 2.5 on the goals market. It's at 21-20. Of Hull's away games in the Premier League, 11 of them have been under 2.5. And I think I can see that landing again. And you look at Tottenham's recent struggles in front of goal, didn't score against Villa or City. Both those landed under 1.5, actually. So I think 21-20 is a fair price for that, under 2.5 goals.
Yeah, it is. That's a very good bet, actually, because it ain't going to be a goal fest, this Tottenham. I've given up for the season. That 4-5 Tottenham is a criminally bad price. I mean, they've had 18 home games this season, Tottenham, and failed to win 9 of them. You know, every other game they've failed to win at White Hart Lane. And now they're playing a team who are desperate for points. and they've given up themselves. Spurs, you couldn't back that. I think Hull are a decent price at 4-1 here. Yeah. I'm always going to back a team with everything to play for against a team with nothing, and the 4-1. I'm not going to miss that one.
For the neutral as well, Derek, looking ahead to the final weekend of the Premier League season, it would be good if Hull got those 3 points, because that brings a heck of a lot of teams into it, doesn't
it? Well, that's it. If Hull get beaten this weekend, it's game over for everything, isn't it, really? Yeah. So, yeah, we need them to win.
West Ham versus Everton next. West Ham 9-5, the draw 21-10, Everton 8-5. Headline offers here: Diafra Sakho, I don't think he'll be available. Him to score and West Ham to win 4-1. Romelu Lukaku to score and Everton to win is 4-1. Just when you thought Everton were finishing the season strongly, they've hit the buffers a little bit with defeats against Aston Villa and Sunderland. Again, a hat tip to Derek for getting that Sunderland result spot on last week. Only 3 points between these two sides in the league as well, Derek, and nothing for either team to play for, really.
Oh, well, there is, isn't it?
There is.
Fair play, Rude. neither team.
I love it that you've got this, Derek. I was hoping that you'd check this out.
Well, the second and third in the standings for the fair play league, but the top of Liverpool, and they're going to qualify anyway. Yeah. So, you know, whoever behaves best out of these two teams will get a place in Europe, it seems. Now, with that in mind, Sam Allardyce is expected to field Julian Dix in the holding role behind the Taliban.
What about Duncan Ferguson's coming back, isn't he? After he's finished killing his neighbour's cat, allegedly.
Well, Martin has said he'll send his players out to attack with knives, machetes. I know it's conspiracy theories, but you've got to believe that's true. None of these players want to come back in June for pre-season training to play. In fact, they have to fly out to Kazakhstan for the first match right after this game, I think.
I think July 1st is the first game, isn't it?
I mean, it means them getting back in June, doesn't it? You know, a couple of weeks after the season's finished. They don't want it.
No.
And, you know, the conspiracy theories are saying it's going to be a card fest. So that is probably the most interesting market, or even a sending off. In fact, I haven't seen the prices for the sending off. I was looking down the list before.
6-1 it is for a red card.
That's massive.
6-1 for a red card.
There was a red card in the last game between them as well, wasn't there? There was a red card. McGeady got two yellows in the last game between them. That was in the FA Cup.
Does look big, that, doesn't it? 6-1
for a red. That is massive. Yeah. That is absolutely massive. I'll be on that. In fact, that could be my bet of the weekend.
65 booking points there were in that last game between... actually, I tell a lie, there's more than that. 75 booking points in the last game between the two of them.
I'm going to go for that one. Bad for the game itself. Who knows and who cares?
Do you know what? I mean, I looked into this and I was looking at this. I mean, did you look at the fair play table, Derek? It's so confusing.
There's all sorts of
weird stuff in there. So I was looking at the rationale behind it. And obviously, red and yellow cards are right at the top, and you get 10 points. It's basically done on a point system. So you get 10 points as maximum. Bit similar, I guess, to the booking points. But that's number one. Let me read you through some of the criteria. Positive play. Number two. This is designed to encourage attractive play that will increase the enjoyment of spectators. Using attacking tactics, not defensive, speeding up the game, efforts to gain time, and continuing to push for goals when in a winning position. Negatives are slowing down the game, time wasting, blah, blah. Then you've got number three, respect towards opponents. Players should respect the laws of the game. Any single major incident between players may have a significant bearing on the final score. We can expect a brawl here, basically.
Who framed this, Lord Snooty?
It gets better. Four, respect towards the referee. You can understand that. That's fair enough. Five, behaviour of the team officials. So, you know, a big scrap between Sam and Roberto. Behaviour of the public, number six. How do you quantify the behaviour of the public? And number seven, the heat of the pies and Bovril. Why should that come into it?
That should be top.
I got into a chat with a couple of broadsheet journalists, not the kind of the tabloid types, and they were telling me that it's very hard to change, actually. It's not as easy as getting... If they picked up, like, three red cards, obviously it would change.
Right, OK.
But you have to go some to actually change, you know, at this late stage of the season because of all these other weird things, you know. Unless, you know, obviously if they come out and do have a bit of a scrap and it's really obvious. But going back to the cards, that Derek, and Derek's right, that is what people are talking about. Over 45 is 15-4.
Yeah, booking points.
Which isn't the worst in the world.
Yeah, 10
for a yellow, 25 for a red. Maximum per player is 35. It's not beyond the realms of possibility. Look at that. Total match cards, 4-6 cards is 13-5. Time of the first card, first of 15th minute if someone sets a marker down at 11-2. So, I mean, have a look around those if it's not a market that
interesting
you look
card
at.
Markets there. Very no, interesting.
No, they're very good bets then because they don't seem to have taken this into account, do they? No, I mean, I can't remember what the price would normally be.
I think they're bigger. I think they are. Yeah. By instinct,
they
the
red
card's definitely bigger.
Yeah.
The other one is right at the bottom of there, if you want to extend that a little bit, you've got your goals and cards and corners and cards as well. So most bookings points, West Ham 17-10, the draw 5-2, Everton 6-5.
So both looking at the cards then here. Derek
definitely.
Obviously likes the red card at 6-1.
As a result, I go for the draw.
Okay. The draw's 21-10
in
the
game. And low scoring as well.
On to Sunderland versus Leicester. Sunderland are 17-10. The draw 21-10. Leicester 17-10. Lee Lutt on the line here. Even though it's unlikely either of these two teams will be relegated, Sunderland 4-1 to go down here with Hills. Leicester 25-1 for the drop. There's still a possibility, and there's only 1 point separating the two sides as well. Leicester's form, though, has been impeccable, really, with only the defeat against Chelsea spoiling a magical end-of-season run.
Yeah, you can't see it continuing right till the end, can you? But you know, I guess why not? Sunderland, I mean, to be fair to Sunderland as well, you look at their recent form and, you know, for all the doom and gloom, one defeat in the last five matches now, and that was the 4-1 defeat to Crystal Palace, beat Newcastle, drew with Stoke, beat Southampton, went away to Everton and won. So suddenly, both teams are in really good form. I'm going to go for a sit-on-the-fence job here. I think a draw will suit both teams. You know, if you look at the away form for Leicester, they scored 3 at West Brom and 1 at Burnley, so only narrowly won those games. And before that, it was pretty poor. I just think if it gets to kind of like, you know, the 60-minute mark, I think both might just take the draw here. By no means gets them safe, admittedly, but Leicester, I think, with that minus 13 goal difference, would take a point right now. I think move them on to 38. That's effectively 39 points when you look at Sunderland and Villa's goal difference. Newcastle are even worse with minus 24. So I think they'll take a point. I think they'll probably set up to take a point as well here.
I've got that written down here as well, Derek. Do you think both teams would settle for 1 point?
I think if you give them a point each now, they'd bite your hand off. Leicester certainly. Sunderland maybe not so much because it still puts them behind Leicester, but it gives them 37 points and Hull are only on 34 and they've got a tough away game after, you know, this weekend. I think they might think, that would be a great result. And it's the biggest price of the three as well. If I was picking a winner, I'm a little bit surprised that Sunderland aren't favourites in the market given, you know, they're at home and they're, you know, Leicester are pretty much the same team, aren't they, Sunderland and Leicester? I know Leicester are going through a great run right now, but they're still like, you know, six from bottom. So if there's going to be a winner, I'd say Sunderland. I would be fielding against Leicester. I don't see them going for victory, even though going for victory is what they've been doing really well lately. I just think a point they'll be delighted with it.
Yeah. Just to remember as well, Sunderland have got the game in hand. I mean, admittedly, it is at Arsenal and the final game of the season is at Chelsea. But
they do need something out of this game.
I wouldn't be
then.
Surprised if they got a point from one of those two games.
No.
Well, he did it last season, didn't he?
They can set up to defend really stoutly there, can't they? And try and, you know, we've seen Arsenal frustrated by Swansea. I think Sunderland will have taken plenty of notes from that performance.
Final game this weekend is Burnley versus Stoke. Burnley 17-10, the draw 21-10, and Stoke in the market at 17-10. So identical prices to the previous match we previewed, which was Sunderland versus Leicester. Derek, I was quite surprised to read that Stoke had equaled their best ever points total in the Premier League with 50.
Because I told you it last week.
I didn't think they'd had that good a season, Derek, really.
No, but they've been honest, haven't they, the last few weeks? You know, they've been saying, and particularly at home, I think I remember, Mark, you saying a few weeks ago, we want to be picking up points in our home games. Almost, I suspected then it was almost carte blanche to give up away from home, but they don't seem to have done that. I've never seen a match that's more guaranteed to finish 0-0 than this one. I'm playing on the unders all day long on this. I barely have trouble scoring anyway, and Stoke, what's in it for them? I think it's going to be an absolute disaster of a game. Last on match of the day, and I'm going to go for under 1.5 goals at 2-1.
Under half a goal, by the way, if you fancy the 0-0 draw, is 8-1 here. There's one that I think could be of interest if he starts, and it's a big if. But Burnley have conceded more goals from corners than any other team this season. And they're the only current Premier League team that Peter Crouch hasn't scored against.
Nice. Wow, what a great stat.
Yeah, and he's got 46 headed Premier League goals as well, Crouch, which is joint most in Premier League history, along with Alan Shearer. He's 11-5 to score a goal, Peter Crouch. But I'm not sure he'll start. That's the
problem.
You've
never heard of him now, do you? And he's, you know, mind you, you wouldn't hear from me if I had Abby to go home to.
Yeah, true, yeah. He's got to keep checks on him, hasn't he? He don't want to do any more reality shows with fit young dancers, does he? We haven't got that to the headed goal specials, unfortunately, on that one. So it might be worth a check on Saturday to check if those prices do come out for a crouch header. I think Stoke will win this. I think 17 to 10 is a good price. Burnley, when you look at the press conferences that have been held this week, it's all about everyone, you know, players being poached, the best players going. You know, that has to affect players. You know, it would affect anyone. You know, the disappointment of going down, they must be pretty used to that idea. They've been going down for weeks, and whatever you say, that they must have been prepared for Championship football. There's no doubt that the best players at Burnley, their agents will be on the phone to other Premier League clubs trying to get the moves already. So I think it'll be tricky for them to get up for this one. I think the best thing about Burnley all season has been their endeavour and the hard work and the spirit. I think that might have just drifted a little bit. And Stoke do score goals away from home. You know, they scored at Everton, scored at Leicester, scored at Newcastle, scored two at Villa, scored at Chelsea in defeat, scored at West Ham as well. So I think they'll make chances, and I think they can breach this Burnley defence that won't be at full tilt. I think 17 to 10 is a very, very good price on Stoke. I think they should be favourites.
Okay, Stoke 17 to 10, the play for Lee in the game, and Derek going with the 0-0 draw, under 1.5 goals if you want to be safe at 2-1. Should we finish with the naps then?
Yes, can't wait.
Derek, what's your best bet this weekend?
Right, well, I'm going to clean up this weekend. I will be a millionaire, because Villa at 4-1 will be going on my bets. Hull at 4-1, they'll be going on my bets. But the bet of the weekend is a sending off in the West Ham Everton game, 6-1.
Wow.
Unbelievable bet.
6-1 for there to be a red card in the match in the game between West Ham and Everton.
What a treble indeed. That is, by the way.
6-1. Yeah, that'd be a nice treble, wouldn't it? 6-1 and 2 4-1s. Lee, your best bet?
I'm going to go for Sergio Aguero to score in both halves at 9-1.
Okay. The boat's been pushed out this weekend, isn't
it? I think he's in great form. I think Swansea will be a bit open. I mean, you know, the head-to-heads show lots of goals between these two sides. So yeah, I think City just
to catch me, Lee. You need Aguero to score in three halves.
I've given up that ghost. To be fair, I'm just trying to beat Kellner now.
If you fancy 6-1 for a red card in the West Ham Everton game, Swansea Manchester City, Sergio Aguero to score both halves, 9-1. I'm going to finish it off with plain and simple QPR at 19-10.
I'm joking.
To beat Newcastle. I think now that the pressure's off, I think that's got to be a good thing for QPR, and Newcastle are poor.
Well, let's
QPR
do a treble.
Won't let us do the treble.
What, because of my bet?
I think it's because of the it looks like because of your bet. Yeah.
Oh well, for the purposes of the treble, then let's go back to the Man City game. We'll put Aguero into. Let's go with Aguero to score first for the. But I would like it noted that my nap is 9-1 from to score in both halves.
Okay.
Aguero to score first at 100-30. To put in the treble.
Still not putting in the treble.
We'll work this out.
Someone will work it out. Yeah, work it out yourselves. That's the way it goes. Derek, thank you for your company.
Pleasure.
Mr. Phelps.
Thank you very much.
Thank you as per usual. And thanks for listening, folks. And we'll be back with the last week of the Premier League season next weekend.
It's emotional, isn't it?
It's emotional.
It's almost as emotional as Gerrard.
It's more emotional than that, in my opinion. Thank you, Mr. McGovern.
Cheers, lads.
Thanks, Derek.
Thank you, everyone, for listening to the podcast as well. Remember, you can download this via iTunes and get us on audioboom.com just by typing in William Hill, and myself, Lee, and Derek. We'll be back next weekend.
Do you want me to just work this out quickly?
Yeah, please do work that
so
out.
So we've got, what have we got? We've got 9-1. Oh, hang on. Oh, what's going on here? Should we put a tenner on it? £10 returns you £2,030. What if that's the one that lands, DK?
There you go. So it's just a 200-1.
Well worth playing as
treble.
A Trixie.
Well worth playing as a Trixie, indeed. Thank you for listening to the podcast. Do get us on iTunes and on audioboom.com, and we'll speak again next weekend.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.